For December the 17th, 2021, this is Dubito Talks Games, episode 221. So this will probably just be a pretty quick update. I've had a chance to start looking at the new Alchemy format and all the specific cards for it in Magic the Gathering Arena, and I've been having quite a bit of fun with it. It's it really has shaken up everything, it feels like, and just so far to the better, I think. I've been really happy with the new cards and having a lot of fun experimenting with them. Made a ton of different new decks. Of course, one of the first things I had to do was have another look at Omnath now that it's legal again in the format. Omnath, Locus of Creation. So I I took well, my variant, I guess, on CGB's deck for a spin. I made a few little adjustments. I put in a world tree, for instance, which I thought fit really well into this four-color format. And I didn't have, I don't think I, yeah, there's one or two of the dual lands he might have had more copies of that I didn't have. And also the new land where you can, it's called Forsaken Crossroads, and well, I'll just read it. So, Forsaken Crossroads is a land. It's rare, and it reads: Forsaken Crossroads enters the battlefield trapped. As Forsaken Crossroads enters the battlefield, choose a color. When Forsaken Crossroads enters the battlefield, scry one. If you weren't the starting player, and you may untap Forsaken Crossroads instead. Or actually, scratch that. When Forsaken Crossroads enters the battlefield, scry one. If you weren't the starting player, you may untap Forsaken Crossroads instead. So if you are on the play, then you can choose to have it untapped instead of doing the scry. So really nice, a little bonus there for being on the draw. And then, of course, you can tap it that one mana of the chosen color. So kind of like the Temple of the Dragon's Queen, but instead of the dragon being the method to have it untapped, instead you're on the play. So about 50% of the time you'll get this untapped. I didn't have any of them initially, so I had four Temple of the Dragon's Queen instead, but I've since then gotten two, so I replaced those. Other than that, it's really focused on getting a lot of lands into play, since it's a landfall ability that Omnath has. Works really well with Renan 7, so there's four copies of that. Ysheren, Implacable Earth is also in there, just two copies to get some extra forests and plains. Four Scoot Swarms, since that work really well together with a lot of lands coming into play, and also Locust Cobra for the same reason. Have two copies of Druid class. I think CGB just had one. I tried three at one point, it was too much. Two I find is pretty good. So this is the new version of Druid class, which is slightly altered, slightly improved with Alchemy. They reduced the level 3 cost to just 3. I think it was 5 before. And so that's the ability to turn a land into a creature with haste, and it has power and toughness each equal to the number of lands you control. Besides that, there's I have three Fateful Absence. I accidentally jumped out of the deck. one light up the night if you end up with a lot of mana and you just want to go to the face with some damage. One abrade to handle nasty artifacts like Ishika's Chariot, for instance. Also, you can do 3 damage to creature. What else? Oh, yeah, Dire Strain Rampage, another of the newer cards from Midnight Hunt. So, Dire Strain Rampage is a sorcery for 1 red green, and it's a rare. It reads, destroy target artifact, enchantment, or land. If a land was destroyed this way, its controller may search their library for up to 2 basic lands, put them onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. Otherwise, its controller may search their library for a basic land card and put it onto the battlefield tapped, and then shuffle. And you can flash it back for 3 in a red and a green. So, a really nice way to either take out another artifact or enchantment, or maybe a pesky land creature that your opponent has. But mostly, you would do it to boost Omnath and Scoot Swarm and such by taking out one of your own lands and replacing it with 2. Also, 3 Moonveil Regent in here. Which is also really nice when you can play it with Omnath, since when you cast a spell, you may discard your hand, and if you do, draw a card for each color of the spell's a card for each color of that spell. So if you play Omnath, you could discard your hand and pull 4 cards. So, pretty nice feature. I find, although unfortunately, that usually you'll sit with Omnath and some lands in hand, and you want to play those lands and not really discard your hand. But sometimes it's worth it. But this I found this deck really goes through your cards quite a lot. So you have to be careful not to get to mail yourself, basically. But oh, sorry, it's a lot of fun to play. So, some other cards that I've been enjoying messing around with. One of the first cards I saw, I think, that was Alchemy specific. I didn't really look at spoilers all that much, so I kind of jumped in cold, as I often do. I often don't feel like looking at all the spoilers. I don't want to take the time to just be reading a lot of cards. I'd rather be surprised when I'm actually in the game and playing them. But one of the first ones I got was Fearsome Whelp. It's a 1/1 dragon for 1 and a red. It's just an uncommon. And it has flying, and it has the text, at the beginning of your upkeep, at the beginning of your end step, each dragon card in your hand perpetually gains this spell cost 1 less to cast, and 1 colorless less to cast. So the perpetually has shown up earlier, not too long ago. I think it was in the last release. In Historic, what was that, Mythical? I don't remember what it's called right now, but last release. And it really just means that wherever this card goes from then on, it will be 1 cheaper for you to cast. I think it only applies to if you are casting it and not your opponent, because I feel like I at one point got a creature that had been reduced in cost into my hand, but I couldn't play it cheaper. That might also have been a bug, I'm not sure. But anyway, this immediately, of course, made me want to make a dragons deck. There's quite a lot of dragons now. And looking around, I went with a mono red, since there's so many in red, and it felt like, since this is since this is just reducing the colorless part of the cost. I didn't want to have all that many different colors to splash. Later on, I actually expanded a little bit to Boros just to get a couple of adult gold dragons in there, just to get some extra life gain, since I don't really have any other life gain in this deck. But I've been pretty happy with that. Been really successful. Of course, I've been playing in just in gold and platinum, but this deck got me from gold tier, just in the bottom of gold tier 2, up to platinum tier 1. So pretty much on its own. Then when I got to tier 1, I've been struggling a bit. So maybe that's people getting used to the fighting these dragon decks, because what I've understood is a lot of people are playing around with them, which is understandable. But still, I'm still at 67% win rate, with 65 on play, 64 on draw, with 29 wins to 14 losses. And I've had good stats against most color combos. I guess the ones that I haven't done as well against is Rakdos. I have a 50-50, and then I've lost 2 games to Mono Blue, and 2 to Dimir, and 1 to a Sorius deck. But still, good stats and fun deck to play. Of course, the deck list. See if I can get there. Includes pretty much what you would expect. There's 4 gold span dragons. There's 4. Lost my deck list. There we go. For spike field hazard, I've tried to keep the lands at a minimum, since I'm playing pretty much a mono colored deck. I tried to have as many like spell / land dual faced cards, so I can do a lot of casting instances and sorceries, because I have, of course, 4 copies of Monoform Hellkite in here as well. So 4 spike field hazards, 4 dragon's fire, of course, since I have just dragons in here, except for I have a couple of Dragonkin Berserkers. Then 4 Fearsome Whelps, 4 Shatter Skull Smashing, 3 Smoldering Eggs, 4 Brittle Blast, another new card from Alchemy. Really like this card. It's for 2 in a red, it's an instant, and it reads creatures and planeswalkers your opponent controls perpetually gain. If this permanent would die, exile it instead. Brittle Blast deals 5 damage to target creature or planeswalker. So it does 5 damage, and it also exiles whatever it hits, and of course anything other that's any other creatures that are on the field at the moment will be exiled when and if they die. So really nice against opponents that have abilities that'll get their creatures back from the graveyard and such. So really like this card for a copy of that. I have 3 Igneous Inspiration, which lets you get to the learn board for some extra cards. Since the idea is that I'm making my dragons cheaper, I'll have mana left over to do something else. In practice, I don't know if that really happens. I tend to just play them really quickly and the games are over quickly. And quite often, unfortunately, you'll just have an empty hand, or you've already won. So usually it's the latter, it seems, at least that's 67% of the time. A single Kasul's Fury, another new card, Tor Elf's Disciple. This one I have in here mostly just to try it out. I don't know if it'll stay in here. If I get another dragon that I like, I might replace it. But so this is a new card for two and a red. It's a 3/3 human warrior at a rare. It has haste, and when Toralf's disciple attacks, conjure four cards named Lightning Bolt into your library, then shuffle. So the old Lightning Bolt returns in this in the form of cards being conjured into your deck. So that's really interesting. I've yet to play one, even though I think I've conjured at one point. I conjured 16 of them into my deck, but I don't think I ever drew one. I might have drawn one. I'm not sure, but yeah, I'm pretty sure I haven't. I don't remember doing it. So this doesn't really fit into the deck. Besides that, it's creating a lot of lightning bolts that potentially could help monoform Hellkite or the Egg. Of course, since they only cost one mana, they're not that helpful. But it does three damage for one, so I mean it's a good card, but maybe not perfect for this deck. Since I also have a Draconic Intervention, this will do damage to all non-dragon creatures at sorcery speed. So this would take out my Toralf's disciple and the Dragonkin Berserker, but well, it might not be a such a big price to pay if I really need to wipe the board. Like I said before, monoform Hellkite, one Town Razor Tyrant, another dragon, for two and two red. It has flying. It's a 4/4, and it reads: when Town Razor Tyrant enters the battlefield, target land you don't control loses all abilities except mana abilities and gains at the beginning of your upkeep. This permanent deals two damage to you unless you sacrifice it. So, that's a another really nice way to punish your opponent and hopefully take out one of their lands along the way. Just have the one so far. Probably I'll replace my Toralf's disciple with another one when I get another one. Yeah, then the Goldspan Dragon, as I mentioned, two adult gold dragon, like I've talked about, and then finally three Inferno on the Star Mounts. Never read that noun name, I think. Inferno of the Star Mounts. So that's the 6/6 that can't be countered, which is flying in haste, and you can boost it up for red mana. And a good game ender, or it'll make your opponent scoop quite often as well. Then a bunch of lands, Den of the Bugbear, a plains, a mountain, four Needle Verge Pathways, four or two Sundown Paths, four Temple of the Dragon Queen, of course, and to feel the ruin. So I think that's pretty much all I have to say on that deck. It's pretty quick matches, as I mentioned, and the win rate has been really good. We'll see if I'll keep playing it to try to get it to diamond or try something else.
Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt!